Thank you. Okay, we've squeezed something else in on the end of the agenda. The accountability, whatever the accountability, the ATRT wants to talk to us briefly about the review. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to take the ATRT guys right now. We're going to have them talk to us. Then we're going to talk. Byron's going to talk about something that the council's going to be looking at afterwards. And the way it'll work is the ATRT will do their thing, Byron will do his thing, and then we'll go straight into the council meeting. So if you can hang on, we'd be very grateful. So, Byron, are you leading this? Okay, over to you, ready when you are.
We do not think you are loaves of bread.
Well, unless we're wrapped in transparent packaging.
How much time do we have, Chris? 20 minutes, half hour? That's fine. That's fine. Sure. Ready when you are.
Well,
everyone, right? Okay. Good afternoon. Is this on? Yeah, is this on?
Yeah, it is.
Thank you. Okay. Good afternoon. My name is Brian Cute. Thank you. My name is Brian Cute. I'm the chairman of the Accountability and Transparency Review Team. Thank you very much for your time today. We only have about 20 to 30 minutes to interact, so I'll be brief. The team has been meeting with each of the constituent bodies or organs of ICANN this week to begin our data collection phase of work. We have to deliver recommendations in December with regard that map to paragraph 9.1 of the affirmation of commitments and make specific recommendations about improvements for ICANN. So the purpose of meeting with you today is to listen, is to hear from you. We also have to open up, and I have to open up with an apology. We have posted some questions for comment to the community that are currently on a public comment schedule. We did not post them in the other UN languages of ICANN, and I apologize for that. That was our error. We have asked the staff to make those translations, post the questions in the five UN languages, and create a 45-day comment period for responses to those questions. With that, let's introduce the team, and then we'll get on to hearing from you.
Warren Edelman, President and COO of GoDaddy.com.
Cheryl Langdonor, the current chair of the At-Large Advisory Committee.
Olivier Muron from France Télécom, Paris.
Becky Burr, CCNSO Council.
Fabio Colasanti, until recently with the European Commission and now with the International Institute of Communications.
Eric Riarte, General Manager Lacchialdi.
So
let me get there. We're trying to get the questions that we posed to the community up on the screen. Give me one second. Thank you. Okay, sorry about that. So our purpose here is to collect data again and hear from you. There are specific questions. If you want to use the questions as a guide in providing responses to us, that's perfectly fine. If you have specific instances where you think ICANN's processes or decision-making has not satisfied or hit the bar of accountability and transparency that you believe it should have, we're interested in hearing those as well. Part of our work will be to identify perhaps a handful of case studies where we can analyze and research how an ICANN decision-making process took place. Were there any flaws in the process? Are there flaws in the structure? Identify those and then make recommendations. Our work is not intended to undo the past. Our work is intended to make recommendations for improvements in the future. So with that, we have the questions on the screen. With the short time we have, it's an open floor, and we're interested in hearing from you.
I just want to add, one of the challenges about this task is that the notion of accountability depends and varies from situation to situation. So the way in which ICANN is accountable to various stakeholder groups in the community depends on what ICANN owes those stakeholder groups. And so one of the things that we're also looking for input on specifically is, you know, what are the things, where are the areas where you need ICANN to be accountable to CCs in the CC community in particular?
Your comments.
Just so that everybody knows, I don't know how many of you were in the main session that these guys had on Monday. I made a comment in that session because I know that this team is very keen on, if it's possible, to have specific examples of something that you think is not as transparent as it might be. It's very easy to stand up at a microphone and to say, well, of course, we all know that there's a huge amount of secret business going on in a small room somewhere at the back of this conference center. But I can't give you any specific examples about that. I just know it's there. So the example that I gave was the delegation and redelegation working group, during its research for its current document, discovered that the board had stopped publishing the reasons for its decisions on delegations and redelegations. And that appeared to have been a decision that was made back in sometime last year. And we don't know why, and it's just happened. So that's a specific example of something that... Now, it could just be a mistake, quite possibly. But nonetheless, it is an example of... Now, that's not to say that you can't talk about anything else if you don't have anything specific, but you feel you want to make a statement. But this community, the CC community, is often... is not unknown for its... sometimes loud views, and these guys need to hear from you. So understand, some of you might not be comfortable speaking in the room, you might want to send in written comments, but they need to hear from you.
Chris, we will be giving a whole lot of opportunities and modalities for people to get this information to us, but if I can just give another example from just a constituency in the GNSO. I won't tell you which house, you can probably work it out for yourselves. When we were sitting in a room with few more people than are in this room, and a question, they did a straw poll, and they asked the question, how many amongst you feel that your responses to public comments have not been accurately reported into the assessments and surveys? And there was more than 60% of the hands went up. That's a metric. That's exactly what we want to hear, if it happens.
Sabine.
I would make a comment, and I think ICANN is sometimes very open and transparent in what they are doing, but they are not very open and transparent about the process and how long the process might take. So when you have, for example, the IDN thing, when we started with talking about IDN in the top level, it was like it took 5-6 years until the first IDN went into the top level. If you look about the GTLD process, it's a never-ending process. But there is not a clear start and a clear end. So there's usually not a real like a project plan that are my first milestone, my second milestone, my third milestone, and then I'm done. I take a decision. But it's very much about endless processes without clear... I was in the main session when it goes about the GTLDs. It's like, yes, how much guidebooks do we wait for? And the answer was something like, yes, when there are less comments, we think we are done. But that's not really a transparent process.
I actually have a theory that the reason why there's so many draft application guidebooks is because ICANN has realized that the final application guidebook will be a fag. And that's not something that they're prepared to actually publish.
We could have final version 1, final version 2, and so on. Hi, I apologize for my lateness. My name is Louis Lee. I'm the senior network architect at Equinix, and I am serving as the chair of the ASO Address Council.
Thanks, Lou.
Thank you for those comments. Anybody else?
Martin.
Thanks. Martin Boyle from Nominet. Actually, if I can build on Chris's example, because going back a very long time now, and with requests from CCNSO and from the GAC into a rather better advice to people about the process of delegation and redelegation and the criteria and what the criteria meant. And this is something I think that does keep on coming up, that people are taken by surprise by the amount of information they need to give, by the things that they're requested to go back and do, because they just do not properly understand what that process is. And I think that is actually a very, very difficult environment in which to be. Thank you.
Has, follow-up question, Martin, has ICANN made any recent modifications to that process or not?
How would you know if you can't see what the process actually is?
Thank you.
We are aware that they have done various work internally on what the process actually might be, but that which is shared in confidence.
Thank you.
Brian, you should, on that point, and you won't be surprised to hear that a lot of the things that we discuss with you will be to do with delegation, redelegation, that sort of thing. We have a delegation, redelegation working group. We've just published a 110-page report, which is an analysis of a number of ICANN delegation, redelegation decisions, comparing them to a matrix of saying, were they within policy, were they without policy, etc. And I think you might find that very useful. It's not a blame document. It doesn't say, you know, these people are to blame. It just says, so for example, it doesn't say this was a bad decision. It might have been a good decision. The question is, was it made within the policy or not? And if it was, even if you like it, if it wasn't made within the policy, it's not really very helpful. So that's public. It's on the website for comment, and I would commend it to you for Becky knows all about it because she's on the working group. So I wanted to give you another example of the problem with I'm a lawyer, and I know that as a lawyer you learn there's a fine balance between statements about transparency, etc., on the one hand, and on the other hand the fear of liability and what may happen. So I understand that, but the problem is that people tend to forget that when they introduce some opaqueness, it's usually for one reason, and over time the opaqueness creeps and a whole heap more things become opaque than necessarily need to. So to give you a really specific example, in the fast track, the deal was that an application would come in, it would go through stage one, which is the technical check to make sure that it was acceptable, etc., etc., and at a certain point it would then be published, but it wouldn't be published before that because it would be embarrassing, quite correctly, for a country to put in an application for dot whatever and then have that refused because they hadn't noticed that it was incredibly similar to .com or whatever. Perfectly understandable and logical that should be the case, but that became a rule, if you like, that said we cannot discuss under any circumstances anything about an application ever. The result of which was when a particular country put in an application that we had specifically written some rules to deal with, and the technical community said there is a problem. Instead of coming back to the people who wrote the rule in the first place and saying, this rule does not work, in which case we would have been able to say, no problem, we'll rewrite the rule, a whole swathe of things occurred that led to what is now euphemistically referred to as synchronized IDNs, which have a huge knock-on effect and may influence the GTLD world in the future and may not. All because there was a decision made about, quite justifiable and necessary decision made about the need for it to be opaque, but it got carried away to such a point that basically we ended up making far, far more work than we would ever need.
This sounds, again, like a potential case study. I would encourage you to provide us or point us to the documentation. I have to stress that we need to produce recommendations that are objective, that are independent, that are researched, that are well-founded. We need to deal in facts. We recognize that many of us are inside the ICANN tent, and it is a sensitive concern of ours that the recommendations we make be viewed as valid, independent, and objective at the end of the day. So we encourage you to provide us that material. You can rest assured that we will go about the business of researching, verifying, validating, and understanding the facts behind what you presented us. And if we think it's something that raises to the level of a potential recommendation, we will do that.
Do we have any other... Don't be sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry, I can. Sabina from Dinig again. I have also a remark with regard to that I can process this in an accountable manner, and that is when it comes to discussing that I can always stick to their core function and to their mission. So do they really stick to the technical parameters and the technical necessity, or does they actually include too much, maybe, of other issues which may be not in their scope and which maybe are not that relevant for technical discussions? So especially when you talk about principles like similar, confusing, and things like that, where I say it's from a technical standpoint, things are... Yeah, either equal or unequal, but similar confusing is something which, from a technical standpoint, it's not really, that's all again from the IDN debate. So the question is, are the barriers of the scope clearly defined? Are they, when their stakes are taken in the discussion, are it really measured if it's in the scope or outside the scope, and is there, and who and when is the decision taken that we dig down that area?
Thank you for the question, Sabina. What I would encourage you to do is to read paragraph 9.1 of the Affirmation of Commitments. This is our roadmap. We have to look at issues surrounding the board performance, GAC and its interaction with the board, the PDP process, receipt of public input. There's five criteria altogether. This is our roadmap. We need to identify case studies that map to these elements. And if you provide them to us, then we can examine all aspects of...
IDN process.
Yeah.
The IDN process, new TTLE process, great processes.
Thank you. Please.
Annabeth.
Thank you. I will just use an example that Becky knows very much, since this is something I've been working with in the last few years, with the geographical names. And CCNSO and the GAC raised these problems again and again and again. It really took a very long time before we got any response at all. And we felt a lot of resistance without giving a proper explanation why what we said was not taken into account. So at last they seemed to have understood, and during one, I think it was a board meeting in Seoul, where the board actually told us that you don't know what you're asking about, and you don't understand this. So it was kind of a very peculiar situation. So we have worked hard, and now it seems like they have understood it, and they've taken so far into consideration some of our concerns, but the process has not been very good.
Just
thank you.
For background for the team, the comment was that in the new GTLD process, country and territory names should not be GTLDs. It wasn't. It didn't strike this community as a very tough call.
and the key to it is not whether that's right or not. The key is that sometimes non-response looks like it's not transparent. So what happens is that you get no response, or the next version, in this case of the DAG, comes out and nothing's changed, and you've had no response. So that now looks like it's not transparent. It could just be that the letter fell off the table and is lying on the floor somewhere underneath a sleeping Labrador. But, you know.
Excuse me, but not five times.
Any other comments?
Sorry, Byron.
Yes.
Hi. I think financial transparency is a little light right now, particularly for this community, where there's an ongoing dialogue about the contributions that we should make. In order to have that conversation, they have to be a lot clearer about their financial reporting. I think if we look to the past specifically, they've been very light on why they are so over budget, relatively speaking. So that would be a particular example. They haven't really justified that. But more importantly, going forward, you know, for example, they put a $10 million price tag on the CC community, but they don't provide any specific backup and detail at any level of granularity. And I'm not talking about going into their and plumbing their GL codes. I'm just talking about basic allocations. So I think there's a significant lack of financial transparency at any meaningful level.
Yeah,
thank you.
And to add to that, another specific example on the financial side, the CCNSO asked a specific set of questions in the first comment period, I think, on the budget. No response. Then the report after the comment period said, we've answered all the questions. So then there was a telephone conference with Kevin Wilson, who does a great job, by the way. And he said, oh, by the way, yeah, I know that there are these specific questions that you want answers to. These are really specific. We'll be done. The latest news is that there's a blog that he's written, which he's trying to get permission to publish, which may be published in 3 weeks' time, which is after the closing of the thing, and the board approves the accounts on Friday, the budget on Friday, etc., etc. Now, you know, I would prefer I'm not going to answer those questions to not getting any response at all. And Byron, you, yeah.
Just one more comment. It happens to be around this issue, but it's about something else. I noticed during the process that Chris was referring to, in fact, they hadn't translated any of the materials around the financial reporting where there was a commitment to. So then in the comment period, it meant anybody who required translated materials basically got entirely squeezed out of the comment period, and there was no recognition or acknowledgement of that. When I raised it, it seemed to be an oversight. I don't know. But, I mean, certainly for anybody who relies on it in another language, they were completely shut out, and I would say that would be fairly intransparent.
Eric.
Yes, I will take the last comment to use some another aspect about the transparency, and it's the multicultural diversity. And one of the questions is about the necessity of have the information and the documents in different languages to have access to the information, when that may participation of the people that could be interested in any kind of different issues. Do you believe that, or you and the community believe that this is one of the principal points, because we can say that it's not a full transparency in the process, or they have some kind of transparency and the people don't participate because don't have access to the documentation and information at the correct time? That kind of question are very important to understand. It's not only a problem about get the documents on time. It's necessary to get the documents in the language that could be useful for the persons.
Do we have anyone else? Did you want to speak? I think we may be done.
Okay.
Are you okay with that?
Sure. No, thank you very much. We realize we had a short exchange here,
again, this is an open invitation to provide information to us. We have an interior site within the ICANN website. If you look on the homepage, left-hand side, down the buttons, there's one that says AOC Reviews. Click on that, and you will find our materials. We are trying to run as transparent a process as we can, putting our documentation, our calls, our meetings online with transcripts. But please get us your information. If you have questions, you can contact me. Yes, Becky?
I just want to talk about...
Yes. Yes, we were posed a question in the public session about whether we would accept anonymous contributions. We have decided that we would not accept anonymous contributions. We will accept confidential contributions.
Good idea.
And with that, thank you all very much for your time.
Thanks, guys. Fantastic. Thank you. Byron. Yeah, can we put the Byron slide back up again, please, so that we can finish doing what we were doing? And just to remind you, we're going to go straight into the council meeting. So if you're a councillor, don't leave. I know you want to talk. Yes.
Hi, I'm going to make this very quick, just some really administrative business for the SOP. First off, I would like to say thank you very much to the staff who helped this group, who do an awful lot of work for us. So that would be Gabby, Christina, and Bart. Bart's here. So first off, I think on behalf of the SOP, but I think we all know in this community what they do, thank you very much to them. I know, and I'm sure others could say this, they have pulled me out of the fire on more than one occasion, so thank you very much. Just a couple pieces of business. The term of this working group ends at this meeting, as it was constituted and set up. The feedback that we have received, mostly anecdotally, however, has been that there has been